Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad that you are listening this morning. We're also pleased to have back with us on the program Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He's here on the program every month, always on a Monday, to answer your questions about home maintenance. Now, maybe there's some problem that has come up. You need a little bit of advice, or you're thinking about doing some remodeling or making some changes. He knows an awful lot about the single-family home and all of the various parts that go into it. And if you have a question, all you need to do is pick up the telephone and call us here in Champaign-Urbana, the number 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. So 333-WILL locally, toll-free, 800-222-WILL, and we'll be happy to take as many calls as we possibly can. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Always good to be here.
We're all ready to go. We're getting some callers lined up, so we'll just start with someone in Urbana, and it's line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaks, for helping with these questions.
You're very welcome.
We need a repair on the outside block foundation wall of our house, and it was built in 1941. We had a typical, like, five-room bungalow that they built then, and the exterior is covered with aluminum siding about 1968, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But could you tell me who to get for tuck-pointing those blocks outside the walls or put a covering of concrete on top of the blocks for the crumbling?
There are a number of good masonry contractors locally. And that's really what you need.
Could I call you later at your office to ask someone?
Sure, sure. But basically, you need somebody who can do a little tuck pointing and probably parge, in other words, put on this cement-based coating over the block, and that will help protect the block and make it look a little better.
Very good. Inside, we've always used the waterproofing paint. Mm-hmm. Never had any problem. Mm-hmm. But there's a crumbling of it now. The tuck point is getting old like we are.
Right.
Thank you very much for your kind help.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's continue to Winona next, line number four. Hello.
Hi. We've got an older house that's got aluminum siding on it that's probably 30 years old, and the paint is lifting off the siding pretty bad. Is there any good way to paint it to get it to bond, being the paint's flaking actually from the surface, or should we just cut the siding?
Is it really flaking, or is it just weathering off?
No, there's spots about the size of your hand where blotches just seem to fall off, and you see it after a rain, it'll be laying out in the grass and that.
Hmm. I wonder, that doesn't sound like a factory paint job. It sounds to me like somebody already painted it once. Okay, well, there are a number of paints made by the major paint manufacturers. I know Pittsburgh, for instance, makes a special paint for repainting metal siding. And we've had very good luck with that. And it's a pretty easy process. Of course, you want anything that's loose now, you want to brush off first. But
Would you recommend acid washing it or hitting it with a pressure washer to knock it?
Pressure washer, probably. You've got to be careful that you're not going to drive too much through the joints between sheets. Don't use a real high pressure.
I see.
And knock everything off that you can, let it dry thoroughly, and then go on with one of these paints that's specifically made for repainting metal siding.
Okay.
And as I say, I know that Pittsburgh makes one. I know that several manufacturers say, oh, just use our good latex paint. Well, I'm sorry, I've had better luck with the paints that were specifically formulated for redoing metal siding.
Now, do they have a primer they recommend with those generally, too?
Those are usually self-priming.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Main thing is you follow the recommendations of the manufacturer of the paint that you're using.
Okay. And so I suppose, like anything, you want to make sure that there's no loose stuff on the surface, that it's clean, and
right,
that it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
And other than
that should do it.
Okay. Very good. Let's take another call here. This will be Champaign and line two.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have a rubber membrane roof that's 15 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not showing any signs of excessive wear or any damage, and my husband checks it twice a year. Should we go ahead and change that now? We have no attic. We have a 7 to 12 foot pitched ceiling, so it's a fairly flat roof. And we have beamed ceilings inside, so we don't want to wait until there's any leakage.
Well, as long as it's in good shape, I would go with it. 20 years on a rubber roof isn't unusual.
Okay. So even though it gets direct sunlight and not much shade during the day, it's not
like no, usually the problem occurs at the edge.
Oh, and, at the edges. Okay.
And possibly, assuming you have one that's been has glued seams, if you start seeing a seam open up, you know, starting to buckle a little bit, then you probably want to get some on it for repairs. But I don't think that just age would be a reason for redoing it now.
Oh, okay. And if we did put one on, can you put it over the same one, or does the old one have to be removed?
Depends on the condition of the old one.
Oh, okay. And is this something my reasonably capable husband and son could do, or would we have to have a contractor?
No, have a contractor, because the sealing of the joints and so on takes some specialized equipment.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
For a conventional asphalt shingle roof, mm-hmm. how do you assess the condition and decide, you know, short of if there's a leak, when a roof needs to be replaced?
Well, we go up and take a look in the cuts in the shingles. You know, where each 3 foot long shingle has three tabs, and we look in the cuts at the granules in the layer below that you see in the cut. Mm-hmm. Once those granules disappear, you've got 1 year to a hole. So that is the weak point on it. We also look at how the edges are done. If the shingles go over the metal edge and so on, so that we've got no sign of a problem there. But usually we evaluate it in the cuts. Occasionally we will get one where some moisture condition or whatever has caused them to curl badly. In that case, you may need to reshingle on the basis of curl, but usually it's a matter of losing the granules. The granules serve two purposes. One is decorative, and the other is to protect the membrane underneath from the sun. And once the granule is gone and the sun can get to the membrane underneath, as I say, usually you've got about a year to a hole.
And what's the average life you should expect from an asphalt shingle?
First layer, about 20 years. Second layer, 17, something like that.
Mm. Okay.
And I never advise putting a third layer on.
Because of the weight, right?
Well, it's a matter of weight and the fact that it the life of that is down 12 years or something like that, simply because it can't dissipate the heat as well. We end up with a sandwich there that's almost an inch thick, mm-hmm. and it doesn't dissipate the heat, so they don't last nearly as well. Each successive layer lasts less than the one before it.
Okay. Hank Spies is our guest this morning. He's here every month on the show. We talk about home maintenance, and if you have questions, you can call us here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and toll-free around Illinois, Indiana, any place the signal will travel, 800-222-9455. We have someone up next in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I moved into a new house, or new for me anyway. It was built in 1942. Moved in at the end of December, and everything has been great until about a week ago when I noticed that I was having some breathing problems, and I've never had allergies or anything like that before. I'm wondering if there's anyone locally who can come in to determine air quality or where to start, whether maybe it's a mold problem or I need to have my furnace ducts cleaned.
Okay, again, if you would call me at my office, I have the names of a couple of firms that can do this. Don't think any of them are local,
okay.
and it's quite expensive. Is your house on a crawl space?
There is a crawl space on the family room.
Okay.
And from doing some work at work with the Building Research Council, I know that can be a problem with mold.
Yeah, if you – that dirt surface certainly should be covered with plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And because very often that is a mold growth type thing. You say you have been working with Building Research Council?
Yeah, just with what I do at the U of I. I have done
Well, probably them. One of the foremost experts in this area in the country is Bill Rose at Building Research Council.
I was planning to email him when I got to work because it's been bad for the last week and it's just gotten worse.
Yeah.
I was trying to determine if it made any sense to start with just having the furnace ducts cleaned out or if there'd be any merit in that?
Probably not. That's not where your problem is coming from in all probability.
I also did notice there's a closet off of the master bedroom that's a cold closet up under the roof, and I moved a cardboard dresser that had been in there at one point early on and noticed it was damp, so I suspected there might have been something going on with weather changes there. I investigated that a little bit more this morning and found not that area, but another corner that did appear to have some mold there. So
mm-hmm.
I'm concerned that there might be.
Do you have condensation on your windows in the wintertime?
Not really. No.
Okay. Because if you, it sounds as though the humidity in the house is a bit high in general.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a humidifier in your furnace?
Yes.
Turn the darn thing off.
Okay. Okay. There's a start.
There's a good place to start.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But it sounds as though your humidity in the house is a little high, so that any place where the air does not circulate against the outside wall, it'd get cold enough to cause some condensation to occur.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that usually means too high humidity in the house.
Okay. And that would mean if there was a mold problem, it's probably just blowing around in here, and that would have a lot to do with the air quality and the problem.
Yeah, yes, it will. But be sure and get that plastic down in the crawl space.
Okay. When the house was inspected, it was a time of year where they couldn't really get under the crawl space, so they didn't get a chance to look under there.
Why? Did it have water in it?
Well, I don't know. He just said it wasn't something he could get at. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want to do it.
Well, I mean, I have seen crawl spaces where you literally couldn't get into them. There physically was not enough room to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, that is very high on our list when we do inspections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I should give you a call later on, and you might have some ideas of people that could come and check out the air quality.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's see. Next up, we'll go over to Indiana for a caller in Lafayette on line number 4. Hello.
Hello. You've talked about painting aluminum siding. Are there paints formulated for vinyl siding that's faded or the white that's getting yellow?
I have heard of paints for that purpose. I have never seen a successful paint job on vinyl.
Bad disability.
Particularly if you change color significantly. If you hold to the same color, it may not be bad, but I would want something that was formulated for that because I've seen nothing but bad results from painting vinyl siding.
Okay. And second, do you have any confidence in filters that are built right into heat registers?
It depends on the filter. As a matter of fact, I'm working on an article on furnace filters at the moment, and we find that there's a tremendous variation. We have some that will catch dust mice, but not much of anything smaller than that, all the way down to ones that will take out at least tree pollens, if not grass pollens. However, the system has to be sort of designed for them in that they have more air resistance. The better the filter is, the more air resistance it will provide. So you've got to be sure that your furnace has enough fan to distribute the air, pushing it through one of these heavier filters. So that's a major drawback. I suspect that most of the ones you see that are put in the register itself are the dust mouse type.
Well, you could probably cut out from a pleated filter.
That would help, yes. Yes. We have... in the line of inch-thick filters, which most of them are, we have the fiberglass ones that you can see through.
Those are worthless.
Those are essentially worthless. That's strictly catching the dust mouse. On to some polyester ones, and we get some. There is a rating system that the American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers has set up. And they rate the filters from 1, I believe it is, to 12, the highest number being the most efficient at removing things. And most of the ones that we see in the home center stores and so on have a rating printed on them. And, yes, you can get up to a 12, and it takes out an awful lot, but you may also have a lot of air resistance particularly after it's been in place for a little while. I sort of regard filters as in the same category as cheese. The older it gets, the better it gets, until finally it gets so good you have to throw it away. So we can get an awful lot of back pressure that way.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks. So what you're saying is that you might as well, if you're going to the Kmart or the whatever place, a hardware store to buy filters, you might as well just pass by the cheapest one. There's one that's just $2. Forget it. Then you want to go on to...
There's some that are in the $3 range that are not bad. Okay. I mean, the 69-cent ones are the ones we've bought.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm wondering about, and maybe this is something that people just have to decide based on how sensitive they are to dust.
That's
and
very
software.
True.
How much is it going to benefit you to buy one that costs, say, $10 or $12, mm-hmm. as opposed to one that costs $5 or $6?
Yeah, and generally speaking, the more expensive ones only have to change about every 3 months, as versus anything down to 1 month on the real cheap ones. And then, of course, you can go with the high-efficiency mechanicals, which are thick filters. Instead of being 1 inch thick, they're 5 inches thick. And those are about $30, mm-hmm. but should be good usually for about 2 years. They have folded paper elements in it, much like the air cleaner in your car. And this filter has something like 80 square feet of filtering area in a 5-inch thick filter because of the way it's pleated. Right. And those will take the good ones, and there are differences in brands. Good ones will take out particles down through tree pollens. If you are sensitive to something even smaller than that, your only choice is to go with an electronic filter, which will go down to smoke.
Now, to use one of these high-efficiency mechanical filters, you have to have some alteration made to the duct so it'll
go in. There has to be a box there to slide it in. Mm-hmm. And that may take some sheet metal work.
Okay. Very good. We have plenty of other callers here, and we'll get back to it with someone in Terre Haute, line number two. Hello.
Hello. I've got a question on, we've got a new house that was built in 98, and I've noticed on the roof, when there's frost on the roof, that I can see just about exactly where our bathroom wall is because there's no frost there. And I was wondering what to do about it and worrying whether or not the roof would rot out.
Well, probably not. It all depends. The only way you can tell the answer to that is to go up in the attic on a cold day when that frost is up there and see whether there's any moisture on the bottom of the roof sheathing in that area. Or even now, you can go up and look where the nail points that hold the shingles are sticking through. Are they rusty? And is there a rust stain around them? Generally speaking, what they probably didn't do was to use a can of the spray insulating foam and seal around the pipes that come up through that bathroom wall.
Okay.
And that would be the first thing that I would suggest, is that you go up in there and dig down to the top of that wall. There will be at least a vent pipe coming up through there, and they probably didn't seal around it.
Okay. And then I've got another question. Where we have a soffit, our house is bricked, and the soffit comes in, and there's between the mortar joints, I think we get mice coming up through there. What's the best way to try and keep them out?
Large cat. Probably it should have been mortared in tighter than that so the mouse can't get through.
Would caulking work? Yes,
a caulk should work.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, and thank you.
If the crack is big enough, you might stuff a little metal screening in before you caulk it. That way we're sure that the mice can't chew their way through the caulk.
Okay. Let's go to Villa Park, I think, next. Line number three. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have a cedar shake roof. It was put on about 20 years ago, and with all the snow melting, I've noticed a number of leaks, one by the chimney, and I think it's the flashing area needs to be redone, and another in a valley. One of my friends told me that he was surprised to see cedar shake on my roof since it's not a real steep roof. And he recommended to take that off and go with a ridge venting system and then use this new membrane. and I was wondering what your thoughts on a ridge venting system were, and I think I have another asphalt layer underneath there, so I probably have to rip up both layers.
Yes, you probably would. We never recommend a third layer. A combination of soffit vents and ridge vents are the best system for ventilating the attic, without any question.
I have the soffit vents now, and I'm thinking possibly on doing it myself. It's not a very steep roof at all. Mm-hmm. I know it's a lot of work. Any suggestions as far as how high up I would put the membrane or...
Generally speaking, at the edge, you want to run the membrane past a point where if you put a vertical plane in the wall, 2 feet upslope from where the wall is.
Okay.
Generally speaking, this is 3 to 4 feet, something like that. And then you want the self-sealing membrane in the valleys. And then when you reflash at your chimney, you want two-piece flashing. In other words, we have one piece that for each row of shingles that slips under the shingle and goes up alongside the chimney, and then we have another piece that is set into a mortar joint in the chimney that bends down over the first piece of flashing. This allows the roof to move up and down slightly without breaking anything open. And yes, if you have a truss roof, and I suspect you very well may, but even any wood roof will move up and down, as much as a half an inch between winter and summer. And if you don't have a flashing that allows that movement to occur, it will pull something loose.
I've also been told to get some concrete sealer and put it on the chimney itself also. It's never been regrouted or anything like that, but it appears to be in pretty decent shape, but they said, you know, just seal it anyway as long as you're...
Do not seal it. That is the worst possible thing you can do with it. You may want to give it a coat of water repellent, but not a sealer. Sealers tend to be silicones, and that can destroy a chimney faster than anything else. What you want is a silane or a siloxane water repellent. Now, the most important thing is the chimney cap or crown on top of it. Is to make sure that water is not getting through that and going in behind the brick.
Okay. It does overlap probably, I don't know, a couple inches.
How thick is the crown?
It's probably 5 to 6 inches.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Just make sure that the thing hasn't cracked.
Okay.
If it has cracked, you can cover the top of that with that same self-adhesive snow and water shield that you're using on the edge.
Okay.
And that will keep water out of it. But please do not seal. Water repellent, yes. Sealer, no.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right,
okay.
Thanks for the call. We're about at a midway here already, midway point, in this part of Focus 580. It's our monthly show on home maintenance with Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. If you have questions, you can call us. 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. Down next to Southern Illinois and line number 4.
Hi, we're remodeling and putting a room up in our attic, and my husband wanted to know whether to take the insulation out of the floor joist for heat to rise or to leave it in for soundproofing.
I'd leave it in. You're still going to want to put some insulation then up between the rafters over this room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a flat area on top of that, you'll want to insulate that. But I wouldn't take it out of the floor. It does help somewhat for sound purposes, although if you're worried about the noise of people walking up there or something like that, a good carpet pad is the best answer for that. That helps more to eliminate impact sound.
Okay. Any other kind of material? I don't know whether we want to use wall-to-wall carpeting.
Well, what are you going to put down as a floor?
Oh, we were going to use a hardwood floor.
Okay, then you want to put down a layer of what is called sound stop board, which is a soft fiber board. Under that, you can nail right through it.
Under the
hardwood
floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a soft fiber board?
Yes.
Is it any problem with off-gassing or anything?
No.
No? It's made, okay. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Okay.
Enjoy your service and listening to everybody else's problem.
Okay.
Thank
you. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go to Southeastern Illinois, line number one. Hello.
Boy, it must be spring. I had several busy signals where I could get through. I'll have two quick questions and get off. On this business of getting the plastic down, I think I've got somebody that is going to do that for me, but does it make any difference whether it's done before or after the spring rains?
Get it down, the sooner the better.
Sooner the better.
And
if he doesn't get, he's in construction, he's going to be doing it when he has, you know, a minute free. If he doesn't get it down by the spring rains, what then?
Well, put it down as soon as you get it there.
Even if it's raining, huh?
Yes. Yes, and you don't need to tape joints in it. You just lap them 6 or 8 inches and carry the plastic up the wall about 6 inches. You don't need to fasten it there. If it curls back and falls back, that's fine, because that means that any moisture that comes through the wall will still go under it.
Okay, well, even if it's damp under there because of a lot of rain, spring rain, still go ahead and put it down.
Yes, it will always be damp under the plastic.
Yeah, okay. Second question. We have these, I have these downspout, and on the guttering, and at the bottom of the downspout is a horizontal thing that goes off, maybe a foot and a half or so into the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
When they mow the grass, they take those off, and they don't put them back on. And my question, I've seen these things in catalogs and things that they're made of canvas, I think, and you can put them at the they roll up during dry weather, but in rainy weather they unroll out into the lawn.
Most of those are plastic and they're not very durable. The better answer is they make an aluminum one that folds up. That just tips back and against the downspout, which you can get out of your way when you mow the lawn and then flip it back down. And you want something that goes out at least 3 feet.
Goes out at least 3 feet?
Yes.
Okay, will those that you're talking about, will those attach to any downspout?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Let's go on to line number two, and that's here back in Urbana. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to have a shipment of soil brought to my home because I'd like to make a grate from the house out towards the lawn. Prevent moisture coming through the wall in my house. I wanted to ask if there's any material you might suggest I could throw under that dirt.
Well, as long as you start with a slope, then you can put a sheet of black polyethylene underneath it, and then put more dirt on top of it. Basically, we want the polyethylene has to slope away from the house, so that any water that soaks through to it is then delivered 2 or 3 feet away from the foundation.
Okay, so what would I put on top of the top of the plastic?
The rest of the dirt.
Okay, I thought you said mortar or something like that.
No.
Okay, so just plastic and dirt.
Right.
Okay, how far below the surface of the dirt would you put the plastic?
Well, you've got to put enough dirt in there so that the plastic will slope away from the house.
Right.
And after that, it doesn't make much difference.
Okay, thanks.
All right, very good. And how much slope do you recommend there to be?
Well, the basic requirement is there should be 6 inches of slope in the first 10 feet.
Okay.
Now, I mean, the 6 inches of slope can be in the first 3 feet just as well. You don't have to take it all the way out, but that's what we're looking for around the foundation to get the water away.
Okay, 6 inches in the first 10 feet.
Yes.
All right. We'll keep going here. The next is Casey, line number three. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a two-story house built about 1976. It has wideboard siding on it, and the carpenter told me that after a while, sometimes there are some problems with bulging boards and some moisture. It always usually starts on the west side, and I've noticed that on the west side of my house and maybe a few of the lower boards on other sides of the house. Then recommended to have the house covered with a vinyl siding, and is the procedure usually to take off the wideboard siding first or just put the vinyl over it?
Well, they usually don't take it off first. I like it better when they do, because you can do a neater job of trimming around the windows and so on, because it gets awfully thick by the time you've got your old siding plus the new vinyl, and the trim around the windows and doors usually isn't that thick, so they end up recessed, or else you have to put a second layer of trim on.
Yeah, I have had some of the windows replaced over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Done a nice job on that.
So,
does what about a form of vinyl siding called Dutch Lap. Is that just a design that's put on there? That's what they recommended.
Yeah, it's just a design.
Mm-hmm. And that holds up pretty well. If they don't go ahead and take off the boarding, will I have a moisture problem again on the west?
Probably not. I don't know whether you're shaded on the west.
No,
or
I'm not.
Okay. But certainly the cost of installing vinyl siding is about equal to that of two paint jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So you don't have to worry about it. The main thing is that the vinyl siding is installed properly around the window trims and
uh-huh.
door trims. And
that's
that
very
means it has... Usually when they are laying vinyl siding over existing siding, they put down a quarter-inch foam board over the old siding and then put the new siding over that.
I see.
And
okay.
This has to be sealed watertight at the J-molds around the windows and doors. Otherwise, water gets behind it, runs down behind it, and then rots out the framing under the window.
Eventually.
Yes.
Okay. How about the control of silverfish? Got any ideas for that?
I'm not an entomologist.
Call your local extension office and ask them, and they can help you out. And
okay.
Probably one day, not too distant future, well, there's a bug guy that we have on, Phil Nixon. He's an extension entomologist, and maybe sometime pretty soon we'll get him in here so
you
can
you
call
much.
Him. All right.
Bye.
And we'll just keep on going. We have somebody on a mobile phone. Let's go to them in Muhammad here, line number two. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I have a question about metal roofing. For my home,
yeah,
I've got a quote on it. The fellow said they put it right over the top of the shingles.
How many layers of shingles are there now?
One.
Okay.
What's your feeling on it? I guess I'm starting to see them more on homes now.
Well, they've never been very popular here. The further south you go, the more popular it is. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Things get a little bit noisy in rain and hailstorms. But some people find that soothing. No, I don't have any real problem with metal roofing. I'm not sure what you know what kind of metal you're using, what kind of coating. Some of them are very durable. Others will have to be repainted in 15 or 20 years, something like that.
I suppose it's like anything. You got to pay attention to what you're getting.
Right.
But I keep wondering about doing it myself.
If you're not used to working with the stuff and working with the seaming and so on that's required, I'm not sure what kind you're looking to put on, but it may be advisable to go with somebody who knows exactly what he's doing.
Well, that's what I'm figuring. Of course, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just getting information as best I can at this point. So I thought I'd get your opinion.
Well, most of the time I don't regard metal roofing as a do-it-yourself job.
Okay. Well, I appreciate knowing that.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's go on to Bloomington, line four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have an aerobic septic system, and I was wondering, would it be helpful to the septic system to put in, like, Red X or some of those... septic maintenance organisms
no.
or not?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, that was a short answer. Is there anything that I can do to just make sure that it does function correctly?
What brand do you have? You said it's an aerobic.
Oh. Boy, I couldn't.
Multiflow or generation or?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Don't know.
Multiflow, I know, has a filter in it that has to be changed about every 3 to 5 years.
Right. I have a filter.
Okay. Then you probably have a multiflow system. No, don't add anything to it. That's the best advice I can give you is just let it work.
Let it do its thing.
Right.
Okay. That's what I needed to know.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll go on to another caller here. This is a person in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Good morning. I have a question about basement septic tanks and that sort of thing. I've got a finished carpeted basement, and I think I'm half paranoid about leaving for a couple days or a weekend or something like that. And I've got a Zoller septic tank, and I'm always concerned about it dying having a complete disaster. And some years ago, I had one of these battery backup type of things, but it would die, and then I'd get it recharged as a marine battery and get it recharged, and then I'd check it once in a while, and it never seemed to work, and I finally just threw it out. And a plumber had suggested a water pressure type of thing, but it would have to be piped into that area, which is not. And I don't know whether I'm just over-concerned about it or what, and I wonder if you had any opinions about that.
Well, I like the water-powered units over the battery-powered units, without any question. We have lost electrical power for as long as a week in the case of an ice storm here, and ice storms usually bring basement water problems.
Right.
We've never lost water pressure.
Does that, he said it would cost a fortune in water bill. Is that?
Well, you use about 1 gallon of city water for every gallon that you pump out.
Hmm.
And remember that this is only a backup.
Yeah.
It does not run at all as long as your other pump is working.
Okay. As far as that couple of weeks ago, it really poured down, and that sump pump was going off about every 90 seconds. And I don't know where all the water comes from, because I've got all my downspouts extended out, and the grading is right, and that sort of thing. Is this unusual?
Well,
we had a lot of rain that time.
We got a lot of rain, and the water hits the side of the house and runs down into your footing tile. And the water table in this area is not all that low. I mean, I'm sure you're above water table, but it's one of the things that's keeping it there is your sump pump.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we get quite a bit when we get one of those situations. And we sometimes run into the situation in spring and fall where the earth is still partially frozen, and the only place that it isn't frozen is immediately adjacent to the foundation because you're losing some heat there. So if the only place the water has to go is down along the basement wall.
Right, even though it's graded and everything.
That's right, that's right.
Downhill slope and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, good. Well, one quick on a roofing. I had roofing on an old house redone about 2 years ago, and we've had constant leaking problems where the roof goes into the side of second floor siding, and the same people came back out again, and they took some of the siding, the new vinyl siding, down and put flashing along there, but the flashing is along the top of the shingles rather than underneath, and they assured me that this is fine, this is all right, but I kind of am skeptical.
Well, I would be too.
So they really should have taken the roof.
There should be an individual flashing piece under each row of shingles that goes up behind the siding. Now, you can have another piece of, you don't really usually need the piece of siding over the top of it, but because the flashing can move behind the siding.
Mm-hmm.
But if so, then they need to seal that. There's a good chance, is it vinyl siding?
Yes.
Okay, there's a good chance that what's happening is the water is being blown through the vinyl. Vinyl siding is not waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
And is running down the sheathing and behind the flashing. So that flashing has to be sealed to the sheathing behind the vinyl.
Oh, it makes sense. Right.
And, yeah, I've fought those on several occasions.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not.
the siding, the flashing looks like it's right and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the water is actually coming from higher, being blown through the siding joints and running down the face of the sheathing, and unless it is the flashing is sealed to that sheathing, it is going to go behind this flashing and right into the house.
Oh, boy. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for the call. We'll just keep on going here. Next, back to Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm insulating an older home on the exterior walls, and my question is, with paper face backed insulation, would you add a visqueen barrier to that? Because I keep getting two different opinions. Some people say the paper face in and of itself is a vapor barrier. You don't need an extra one.
Other
people say go for it.
I would put the plastic in.
You would put the plastic in?
Yes.
Can you tell me why you would put the plastic in?
Because the paper is not continuous. It breaks at every stud. It doesn't lay flat to the stud, and air can still get past it.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, very good. And again, next caller is in Assumption on our toll-free line here, number 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I'm thinking about putting on a sunroom, one of these glass enclosures, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering, I live where it's fairly windy. Would these things blow away if they stick out into your yard away?
No, I wouldn't be worried about them blowing away. Structurally, they're pretty good.
And how about the connection to the house? How does the leakage doesn't come? I'm thinking about anything you add on, you end up with a connection that leaks.
Well, that's a more legitimate concern. And I've seen a lot of them that did. I've seen a lot of them that didn't. It all depends on just how they've made that connection, what kind of flashing you have. I'm not sure.
Steel siding. We have steel siding on our house.
Well, they will have to take a little bit of that off so they can get behind it with flashing and so on. Does this type, are you anticipating one that has a glass roof?
No.
Okay. You're much better off without the glass roof, yes.
Well, that's encouraging. But how do I recognize if they're doing the flashing properly?
Unless you're experienced in construction, you probably can't. Just make sure they know that you're going to sue the socks off of them if it leaks.
Just remind them that they're aware it might, so please don't let it.
Right.
Okay. I thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the call. We have about 7-8 minutes left in this first hour of Focus 580 with Hank Spies. So if you have questions about home maintenance, you give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. So with the last caller, you asked if this addition had a glass roof.
Yeah.
What, you have a problem with that?
Generally speaking, there is more of a problem. We have leakage where the glass panels join and so on. And secondly, glass roofs tend to collect heat more in the summer than they do in the winter because of the solar angle. So you get in the winter time and the sun is only about 25 degrees above the horizon, so that you're not going to get very much heat gain through that sloped roof. If you look at the angle at which most of it bounces off. In the summertime, when the sun is virtually overhead, then we get a lot of heat gain through this glass roof. And generally speaking, that's exactly the opposite of what we're looking for at that stage. So I'm all in favor of going with a solid roof, which eliminates the leak problems and also reduces the overheating problems in the summertime.
Okay, very good. Cell phone here just came in, line number 4. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Good. I'm from Evanston, and I just love when I'm in my car because I get to listen to WILL, so it doesn't come in too good up here in Evanston. But anyway, I have two quick questions. One is, what about these films that come over windows to keep the heat out? Do you have any experience with those? Are they any good?
Yes, they do help pretty significantly, particularly if you have east or west windows.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need them on north, of course.
Right.
South windows, we hope you can control that with an overhang.
Okay.
But the east and west windows, where you have the sun swinging from the horizon up and back down again, they can help considerably. They may fog a little bit in 10 years or so. I've had that happen to a couple of mine. I use 3 different brands on my house to see how effective they were and so on, and they seem to do quite well.
Are they hard to remove if you need to remove them?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The other question I have is...
Basically, ammonia will attack the adhesive.
Okay.
So you have to go in with razor blade and ammonia, and you can get them off.
All righty. The other is, we have hot water heat. I love it. But the radiators, they sort of have those adjustable kind of things where they're very odd-looking on the end, but they're adjustable. They have 7 or 8 on a rating scale, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the inside, I guess, of the radiator. Now, are those any good, or should we get those removed?
No, they're fine. They're fine. But basically, what you're doing is adjusting a deflector in there that allows different amount of air to flow over the heating unit. So, yes, it does help. It's you can't shut them completely off, but that sort of thing.
Is there are they expensive to when they do give out? Do they have a long lifespan, or do they, when they give out, do you have to remove them? And
you can replace them if they give out, but I can't remember the last time I've ever found one that did.
Oh, okay. All right, because somebody told me they only had a lifespan of about 10 years, and we just bought the condo, like, you know, 2 years ago. And
well, the ones in my house are 50.
Well, I love you. Thank you. That's
okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll see if we can get one more, at least here in Philo, line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
You had a caller a while ago from Muhammad talking about metal roofing.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
And I put a metal roofing on my house 2 years ago. I did it myself. And I had two layers of asphalt shingles on. I didn't remove any of them. And I put the metal right over it. And it makes the house so much quieter. We never hear it rain.
Well, you can attribute that to the asphalt shingles that are underneath.
Yeah.
Now, the main thing in that situation is you've got to be sure that you have long enough nails to go through all of the asphalt shingles plus about 3/4 of an inch into the sheathing.
Yeah, I used a 3-inch ring nail.
Yeah, okay, that should hold it. And, yes.
And on one side of the roof, I could use a 16-foot long by 3-foot wide, and you put on one piece of that, you got a half a square on.
Yes.
So the labor is much less than putting on asphalt.
Yeah.
We really like it.
If you are experienced at all with working with that sort of thing, then yes, it does work.
Yeah.
As far as the noise is concerned, there is one house in Champaign where the former owner, now deceased, loved to hear the sound of rain on the roof.
Oh.
So he installed about a 4 by 6 foot metal roof with a sprinkler head above it. So that he had a set of valves in the closet in the master bedroom so that he could go to sleep with the sound of rain on the roof.
Is that right? That's pretty good.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for the call. We're going to have to leave it at that with the promise that next month, Mr. Spies will be back and we'll do it again. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He's here on the program each month. We do these programs on home maintenance.